We hope you all enjoyed our presentation at ADOT. Boy, I sure did. Remembering this is only the beginning. Boy, does that fit into my sermon last week. God is calling us, ADOT, HaMashiach, to take the lead in international missions. That's where we're going. You going to follow? Thank you for your part. With love and shalom, Herman, Olga, Janice, and Monica. Your copies on the back table. Thank you. I got to say one thing, okay? I just want to make sure you get this. Are you tuned into this? Are you going to get this? This is the will of God, okay? How many times have you heard me say something like that? Not much, have you? This is the will of God. This is going to change everything. You watch. Well, more to come. Keep it in prayer. Meeting with the team again tomorrow night. We're looking to see what's next, what's ahead, and setting new track records for what a teeny, teeny congregation can do, okay? We're little. Who are we? You know, God uses nobody to change the world. I'm sure glad of that, and I'm glad you're here tonight. Well, Shavuot. Shavuot. Boy, so much you can say about that. It's a little time left to say it, but we'll have some fun anyway, right? Y'all recall there's no limit to the fun we can have tonight. It's unlimited. It's true. It says so in the Bible. I can show you. Shavuot, it's a festival of thanksgiving. We've been saying the word thanksgiving on the screen. All the holidays have a theme. This theme is provision. Provision. God provided. What did he provide? What has he provided for you? What is he going to provide for you? The things that you don't quite have just yet that he has promised you. That may be too good to be true. Well, think about that. This holiday is a transition. There's one of our words in the book of Acts, our study, a transition between the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. It's a transitional holiday. It's about a harvest. It's about harvest. We sang the song of Ruth. It's about a harvest. Thanksgiving for what God has provided so far. He's not finished. That's the theme of the holiday. God has provided actually a little. But the best is yet to come. That's what the picture is. And the fact that the first fruits have come in indicates that all the rest is going to come. The best is yet to come. Thanksgiving for what God has provided so far, which is a guarantee. And boy, that word is used in about five or six ways, but it's the same word. It's a guarantee. You have a guarantee. It's a guarantee that the rest of what he has promised will come. The rest of what God has promised you is going to come. So what is it that he's promised you? Deep down inside of your heart, those things that are just yours to know. I want to assure you that those things are coming to you. Those things, he has placed those in your heart for a reason. Those things are coming to you. The little taste that you've had so far is a little bit of what's to come. It will come because he will provide what you need, everything that you need. What's he done up to now? When some of you quite a bit, and some of you quite a bit recently, and the rest will come at the right time. You see, part of what we read earlier that God's timing is in this holiday. Okay? There was an appointed time in an appointed place, and those who were obedient and were there, boy, did they ever get the benefit of this one. At the right time, at the right place. And that's what's coming to you. The outpouring of God's Spirit, Acts chapter 2, is the fulfillment of the holiday, of the giving of Torah. The giving of Torah, that's not where it ended. The best was yet to come. It was the fulfillment. Now, the word fulfill doesn't mean you say thanks and you throw it away. No, it means to fill to its fullest. The complete meaning versus the partial meaning. We've been given the complete meaning of Torah. The complete meaning. The purpose of the law and the ministry of the Holy Spirit are exactly parallel. Exactly parallel. The giving of the first fruits at Shavuot was a sign. It was a symbol for the giving and the receiving of the whole crop, the whole harvest, the harvest, all of it was going to come. It represented the rest of that harvest. It was God's down payment, his pledge, his guarantee that the rest of the harvest would in fact come. A down payment is a pledge. When you make a down payment on something, you have pledged your word. It's a partial payment which guarantees the rest is going to follow. Those very words are used about this holiday. The giving of the Holy Spirit is the guarantee, God's pledge, that the rest of his promises will come to pass, including eternal life. It's all clicked together at this holiday. The Holy Spirit is, in fact, his pledge. Listen, as Paul taught, 2 Corinthians 1, just listen. He has given us his Spirit as a deposit, a guarantee, a down payment, and has established us in Messiah. 2 Corinthians 5, he has prepared. Listen to some of the words, established, we're coming back to it. How about this one, prepared? You Acts students, he has prepared us for our task. Now, what would that be? By giving us his Spirit as a guarantee. Is that right out of the book of Acts or what? It was in first. It was in 2 Corinthians. This week, by the way, in our Acts study, Paul is in Corinth. Pretty cool, huh? Listen, he has prepared us for our task by giving us his Spirit as a guarantee. You see that connection for the Great Commission? Ephesians 1, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. And Peter in Acts 2 in his sermon says that the giving of the Spirit is a gift. It's a gift of God. God gave us another gift, a special gift, the gift of his Spirit. The summary of those verses are he establishes us. Listen to these words. He establishes us. That's solid stuff. He prepares us for our task. He gives us a guarantee. You can do it. It's going to be done. Someone's going to do it. Who would that be? And if you don't do it, somebody else is going to have all the fun. Don't let that happen. Okay? It's a gift. It's a gift of empowerment. It's a gift of an enablement to fulfill our calling and to complete our task. It's the Great Commission. That's what this is all about. So, please, before you leave tonight, ask for this gifting, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for this empowering, for this enabling to complete the task. Do you really think if you prayed that from the depths of your heart, he would say, no, not yet? I don't think so. I think I've been dying for you to ask that. Later, not much later, we're going to sing Bo again. But this time when we close the service with that song, I want you to sing it, personalizing it. Not us, but I and me, okay? Sing it like that. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. That song was written by two kids that I know. They were kids. They were teenagers that we lived next door to in Israel. It's pretty amazing. Torah means teachings, directions. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. As taught by Yeshua at the Last Seder, that's where he brought all this together. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. At Sinai, God gave us the teachings, the teachings. In Acts 2, God gives us the teacher and brings the two together. And the first fruits, that first harvest in Acts chapter 2, with a guarantee, that was the first harvest, the initial harvest, that the rest of the harvest will be brought in. It'll all be brought in. Who's going to do that? Somebody's going to. If not you, it'll be somebody else who will get all the fun. Okay, who's going to be standing with those people around the throne? It's all named. Would that be you or would that be somebody else? That's going to be the most fun you'll ever have in your whole life. Trust me, standing around the throne with the people from the nations where when you were obedient and went there, and we as a congregation send people there, that's the fruit of being obedient. You're a part of that continuing harvest that began that day in Acts chapter 2. Yeshua's teaching is about the coming of the Spirit at the Last Seder. That was the subject of that night. In John 14, he calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Now, you know what that word means? You Acts students do from on Thursday nights. Listen to this. The word Comforter doesn't mean, oh, it's going to be okay. No, that's not the word. It means this. It means the one who fills, listen to this, the one who fills people with courage, strength, and bravery. That's what I need to go fulfill the Great Commission. A little bit of courage, strength, and bravery, because I don't have that in me. I don't. However, when you go and you do what God wants you to do and you're where God wants you to be, guess what happens to you? Just a little side note. When we were called to go to Israel, it was on the eve of a war. And everybody's saying, well, aren't you afraid? People in Israel keep saying, aren't you afraid? And I got to tell you, and when we're preparing for the missile attacks, there was a point in time I remember starting to laugh almost hysterically. I'm now on the outside of the house, okay, on the windowsills, taking duct tape and sealing all the windowsills on the outside of the house, thinking, what in the world am I doing? And I'm starting to laugh. I go, everybody at home is going to think I am just absolutely nuts because I can walk down and get a plane ticket today and get out of here. I thought, I am never going to do that. I said, I am where I want to be, okay, and where I want to be. 39 missiles came. Several came over our house. Two hit close enough to shake the house. Susan and I were never afraid one time. That's not because I'm a man of courage or bravery, I got to tell you, because I'm not. But we were where we were supposed to be, and fear never entered in at all. Not at all, because I was where I was supposed to be. And I didn't want to be anywhere else except right there with the people I'd been proclaiming to the Jewish people, we will stand with you in your time of trial. I practiced what I preached, didn't I? But, you know, I loved it. I just loved it. It was almost kind of fun. I felt kind of guilty. I'm having a really good time over here in the war. The missiles are coming, the people, you know. It was actually enjoyable in a sense, which was really kind of odd. But it wasn't bravery in me at all. It was the Holy Spirit doing this right here. He filled me with courage, strength, and bravery, and even some humor. There were some times we laughed in the sealed room hysterically because things, you know, we're on the brink of death. We're laughing. Things are so funny. I had the flu, which is not a good thing when you have to wear a gas mask in the sealed room. And I started sneezing. Well, I don't want to go into it right now, okay? But that was really funny, I'll tell you. Because I couldn't take my mask off because I would die, right? Maybe. So anyway, there's humor in the midst of those things. But that's a part of the courage, though, that there is humor. You can have a good time in the midst of adversity. Okay? But what does he give you that strength and bravery for? For what? It's to fulfill the task he calls you to. Yeshua said that night, the Spirit of God will be with you. And better yet, he said the Spirit of God will be in you. That's a good deal. Can't beat that one. Twice Yeshua said he would be sent. Ooh. See, we're sending, but he said, no, the Spirit of God is sent. He's on a mission. He's got a mission. And that mission is to enable you, to empower you, to fill you. And in John 15 and 16, that same night, Yeshua says that he, the Spirit, will testify of Yeshua. He'll be a witness of Yeshua. How does he do that? You ever seen him? No, because he does it through you. And as Yeshua talked to Nicodemus, he says, well, you don't see the wind, but you see the evidence of the wind and the power of the wind. It does lots of stuff. Well, the evidence and power of the Spirit of God is seen through believers, through messianic believers. I've seen that. I've seen that in great power. You see, but it's the power to be a witness. He will testify of Yeshua. His aim, his goal is to reveal Yeshua. Look at these parallels. What does he do according to the Messiah? He convicts of sin. So does the Torah. He convicts of righteousness, so does the Torah. He convicts of judgment, so does the Torah. Look at the parallel. He guides into truth. He declares Yeshua. He glorifies Yeshua. He teaches. His focus, his aim, his goal is Yeshua, and so is ours. So is ours. And these parallels continue. The purpose of the Torah, the teachings. According to Paul in Romans chapter 10, the aim, he says this, the aim or goal of Torah is Yeshua. The goal of Torah is not Torah. The goal of Torah is to point us to Yeshua. The Torah's goal is to reveal him. The Holy Spirit's goal is to point to Yeshua. Our goal is to point to Yeshua. Adat's purpose is to proclaim Yeshua to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit gives us personal, and I will add supernatural, direction, teaching, instruction, and guidance. And he guides to Yeshua. And he reveals Yeshua. He does not replace Torah. Okay, it's not a form of replacement theology, but he adds a deeper meaning, a deeper dimension, a deeper significance and understanding. He brings out the complete meaning versus the partial. That's a good deal. There's more parallels to the giving of the law and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was on the same exact day at the appointed time, the appointed place. The same time of the day, the same sights and sounds. We read tonight in Exodus 19, the sights, the sounds, all those things. Those happened again in Acts chapter 2, didn't they? And the glory of God became manifest. There was the visible manifestation of his glory. A common purpose. Every function of the law is also a function of the Holy Spirit. direction on how to live a life pleasing to God, revealing and convicting of sin in our lives, keeping us from conforming to the world and its values. See, we have a different set of values. And above all, to point us to the Messiah. God gives Torah and Spirit on the same holiday to the same people, stretching through history down from the fire at Sinai to the tongues of fire at the Temple Mount. Only at Sinai, the people, as we read earlier, were kept away. They're told, stay away, stay back, don't come near, don't come close. Don't come near the fire, the smoke, the sounds. But in Jerusalem, it was the opposite. All these things came to each individual. It was the reverse. God's glory once engulfed a mountain, Mount Sinai, and they were gathered around the mountain. Later, it filled a building at the dedication of the first temple. But now, they're gathered together at the appointed time in the appointed place, and they become the temples this time, who are now filled with the glory, the visible manifestation of the Spirit of God. These tongues of fire came and rested upon each one of them. When the visible manifestation of God's presence descended, this time it was not as a single pillar of fire. You see, that pillar of fire before was to lead them into the land. And it did. But this time, the flame of God's glory divided and ignited each disciple to lead them not into the land, but to all lands, to all nations, to be a light to the nations, as Isaiah prophesied. It was the reverse, the fulfillment, the completion of God's promise. To take the most important message of all time to the people who live in the most remote places of all time. And as a prophetic statement, they began to praise God in the languages unknown to them, yet they would learn them later. In Gentile languages, it wasn't in Hebrew, praising in the languages of the Great Commission. The very places they would soon be sent. Prophetically, it had begun to happen already. It was a taste, a beginning. They continued, and we are continuing. Until we hear God's praises proclaimed in the last Gentile language in the most remote part of the world. That's going to be a fun day, isn't it? Isn't that going to be fun? The harvest began in Acts chapter 2, Shavuot. The harvest is continuing, and the harvest will, in fact, be complete. What's your part in that? It's going to be complete. Well, our master said this. All right, I think this is really timely because a lot of time has been wasted. I mean, I've been preaching the Great Commission for a long time. Okay, it's different now. It's different now. Timing is different now. It's urgent right now. Yeshua said this, the harvest truly is plentiful. See, you think nobody's going to listen. Not true. He said the harvest is plentiful. But the laborers are few. That's the problem. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send. Do you hear that? To send out laborers into his harvest. It's his harvest. And he said, lift up your eyes and look. Look at the fields. For they are already ready for harvest. No excuses. They're ready. They will listen. Someone's got to tell them. Who's going to go? Who's going to go? Here am I. Send me. Thank you, Lord, for Shavuot and the full and complete meaning that you've given us the empowerment to fulfill the task you've called us to do, the enablement to be people, men and women of courage, of strength, and of honor, to represent Yeshua as his ambassador. You said that people will listen. You said that they are ready and that we're to pray and send and go, and the fruit will come. Lord, may it please be us in Yeshua's name.